AM Emory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic
News,
Media
I'm James
app.
Packer. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky addressing members of the UN General Assembly, making a plea to world leaders to help stop Russia's war in Ukraine. Zelensky saying what happens in Ukraine is a blueprint for the world. He used the grain ship attacks and blockades at Ukrainian ports as an example.
Even now, when Russia has undermined the Black Sea Grain Initiative, we are working to ensure food stability. And I hope that many of you will join us in these efforts.
Zelensky echoed calls made by President Biden to deal with Russia's aggression, warning that Russia continues to threaten nuclear war. Two people arrested after the death of a one-year-old boy at a Bronx daycare center due to exposure to fentanyl are now facing federal drug charges. Three other children were also exposed and treated with the opioid overdose medication Narcan. On Wall Street, stocks down as the Fed board meets this week to weigh another interest rate hike. This is ABC News. Tensions are rising between Canada and India. India expelled a Canadian diplomat after the Canadian government said there was a link between Indian agents and the death of a Sikh leader in Canada.
Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says his country is investigating credible allegations that agents of the government of India had something to do with the assassination of Sikh activist Hardeep Singh Nijjar, Canada also expelling an Indian diplomat. Nijjar, who advocated for the creation of an independent Sikh homeland in India, was shot and killed in June outside of a Sikh cultural center in British Columbia. Lionel Moise, ABC News.
King Charles heads to France tomorrow for a state visit.
France is rolling out the red carpet, hosting the monarch at Versailles for a dinner as the palace celebrates its 400th anniversary. The king and Queen Camilla will then head to Bordeaux. The royals were initially scheduled to visit France in March, but had to postpone their visit due to nationwide protests. Inez de la Quatera, ABC News, Paris.
And I'm Dave Packer, ABC News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is asking for help from residents in tracking a new invasive species threat. Spotted lanternflies have been moving towards the area, being found in Ohio, Michigan, and Indiana, and they'll be laying egg masses over the next few weeks. None have been seen in Wisconsin so far, but state agriculture officials want residents on the lookout anyway. Spotted lanternflies are about 1 inch long with tan wings and black spots, and a mix of white, black, and red markings. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is looking for the public's help in preventing the spread of chronic wasting disease in the deer population. Reports of chronic wasting disease have already been confirmed in the state, and the DNR is asking residents not to bait or feed deer this fall. Baiting and feeding is prohibited across the majority of Wisconsin counties, but it bears repeating as deer will congregate for food and the disease could spread. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Red Delicious, Honeycrisp, Granny Smith. If you have a favorite apple, now is the time to pick it straight from the source. Did you know Wisconsin has more than 300 apple orchards? Travel Wisconsin recently naming its favorites, including the Oneida National Apple Orchard outside Green Bay, Ferguson's Orchards in Eau Claire, and Apple Holler south of Racine. Many provide tons of family fun in the fall, too. Tire swings, lawn bowling, hay rides, and more. Apple experts suggest if you want to pick yours fresh, do it before the end of October. For Civic Media,
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Yeah. Todd Albo would normally be sharing his dulcet tones with us, but you'll recall that last week, Todd was having issues with the cable company, with an internet connection. I'm now thinking, Todd Albo, did you break Spectrum? Are you responsible for this ESPN mess?
I seem to have broke everything else, so it wouldn't surprise me, no.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow, weekday mornings 6 till 8, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't let biased algorithms or degree screens or exclusive professional networks, or stereotypes. Don't let anything keep you from discovering the half of the workforce who are stars. Workers skilled through alternative routes rather than a bachelor's degree. It's time to tear the paper ceiling and see the stars beyond it. Find out how you can make stars part of your talent strategy at tearthepaperceiling.org. Brought to you by Opportunity at Work and the Ad Council.
pursuing the truth wherever it may lead. The Todd Alba Show, weekday afternoons from 1 till 3. Join the conversation. Get involved. The Todd Alba Show on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Find their menu and more at scotchamamas.com.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, the Matt McNeil Show for your Tuesday. Good to be with you today. Matt Patrick here. We got Brett with Patrick Cooligan coming up here a little bit later on. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Patrick, how are we today?
Good. We're kind of enjoying this little late season warm burst.
Well, we'll get another one in October. We always do where it's it's definitely short sleeve weather coming up here in October. So we'll have that. It does feel nice. I actually, it was a hot. I mean, I went to a Target and I was in the parking lot. I'm like, this feels hot. So, yeah, just, you know, keep in mind we're that time of the year. Although I am starting to notice more and more of the pretty leaves.
It's, yeah, it me is. Too.
It must be the drought here. That's kind of why we're so early, a little bit early. But it's just, I've already got my plans. So doing the Arboretum this weekend. I got tickets to the Guthrie too. The Importance of Being Earnest. Got that this weekend. So I'm going to do that.
All right.
Got the Arboretum this weekend. The weekend after that, the glory, the magnificence that is apple picking. I will be out there getting my hoard of apples back. I say back. I will keep them myself. So when was the last time you went apple picking?
I think it was my first year of college. Probably the last time.
Okay. I love it. It's one of my favorite things. I think it has a lot to do with when I was a kid out in Rhode Island. And, you know, that's something you did a lot. You went out into Western Massachusetts or, you know, kind of up into the southern parts of New Hampshire and Vermont. There are apple orchards up there. And just as a kid, I just loved it. And so I did it with my kids. I'm going to do it every year. Plus the fact that I tell you is in the life's pleasures thing. We had the Aurora Borealis last night. Did you see some of the photos? Spectacular.
Absolutely. Do you see the picture of the there was a plane?
Yep. Yeah, so the guy that was a photographer who was on a plane that took off from MSP and got a great overhead shot of it. Spectacular. And he clearly must have used a little bit of a delay on it because it was just really bright green.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely. Just spectacular. These are the little things that make Minnesota just a fantastic place to be. An apple, I can only hope the day I go out there it's a cool morning, something like 42, 43 degrees. You know, not exactly hot. Perfect temperature. You pull an apple off a tree that's been sitting in the shade overnight, naturally refrigerated. If it's a sweet tango, yeah, baby. That's like Lauren Boebert over at a Beetlejuice. I got a lot just off of that. that's not going away. I'll start with that. Because there's a little bit of an interesting side note here. Lauren Boebert says she's back to work. I think you were working it before there. After the nightmare date scene around the country. But her latest comments have raised more questions than they've answered. All future date nights have been canceled, and I learned to check party affiliations before I go on a date, said Boebert, jokingly told TMZ on Monday. Boebert and the date were kicked out of the Buell Theater in Denver on Sunday evening, performance of Beetlejuice, for their behavior. Let's basically, for lack of a better way to say it, he got a solid double, you know, and he was thinking, he rounded second, he was thinking about going for third. I mean, let's just kind of put it in perspective of how things were going that evening. For dun, 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 dun. That's a clutch hit right there. Clutch hit, extra bases. Basically, the complaints are coming from the other attendees and incident reports that the pair were vaping, singing along, recording the show, and generally causing a disturbance. This is backed up by security video that showed the couple getting handsy. And he'll stay with the second. He'll stay with the double. Boebert's comments about checking party affiliation seem to imply that she had not known the man for very long, and TMZ inferred that the night in question was Boebert's first date with him. Wow. That's okay. The man has been identified as Aspen, Colorado bar owner Quinn Gallagher. Gallagher is believed to be a Democrat, and the bar he co-owns has hosted multiple LGBTQ-friendly events, including a drag show. Boebert, meanwhile, has repeatedly pushed the false and dangerous Republican conspiracy theory that drag queens are grooming children. So if all this is true, this was, well, first date, hello. If all this is true, there are some questions. If this was their first date, they seem very comfortable with each other. Hello there. let me tell you about my topographical map studies. Sorry. Two, does Boebert vape near and then tell off a pregnant woman on all of her first dates? Yeah, that's a little bit weird. How did their politics not come up beforehand? I mean, seriously, how do you, as a sitting representative, not, well, I, you know, maybe I'm not giving Lauren Boebert enough credit. Well, I can't go. Maybe I'm not giving enough credit. Maybe she really does kind of turn off the politics when it comes to her personal life. But then she turned something else on. Sorry. Hello there. If Gallagher is a Democrat, why would then he go out on a date with Boebert? Well, I've got a theory, but no, I'm not going to go down that path. And why would she go on a date with him? That's a little bit, yeah, exactly. So I think there's more to this story. She's desperately trying to put this story behind her right now. She really is. She is desperately trying to put this story behind her because I think she knows that this is one of those stories which actually will hurt her pretty dramatically next year. You know, here she is. I mean, there's video footage of her. You'll have to blur. By the way, congrats to the Denver Theater. Those are some high-end night goggles you guys got there, man. There's not much to the imagination. You're going to have to blur those images if you use them, but if I'm running against her, I'm using it. And then now all of a sudden, even becomes even weirder. You know, this was your first date? That's your first date? There's more questions and concerns, but she clearly is very concerned about where this goes with her. 952-946-6205. We were talking about being here, the majesty, the splendor that is Minnesota. Of course, we are once again pegged by a national outlet as a great place to be. Everyone, ready? Here we go. Every Republican you know. You can get up and leave at any point. Seriously, why are you here? Off you go. Minneapolis is one of the 15 happiest places to live in the United States. That's according to Outside Magazine, whose researchers poured through a multitude of facts and figures to land on 15 towns and cities nationally with a testimonial sought from residents in each selected city. Minneapolis was among the cities selected, with the city scoring highly in its ample green space, which goes a long way towards healing and happiness, its extensive bike network, its history of being welcoming to immigrants in the LGBTQ+ community, its excellent hospitals, esteemed performing arts, and fantastic food. Check, 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 and check. Among the businesses and locations getting shout-outs in the article is the James Beard Award-winning restaurant Awamni in the Minneapolis Farmers Market. Early this year, the wider state of Minnesota was ranked as the fourth best state to live in and work in the annual CNBC ranking, with the state vaulting up the list due to its efforts to protect access to reproductive health care amid restrictions in other states, as well as protections for the LGBTQ+ community. Outside acknowledges challenges facing the city, too, however, namely the 2021 murder of George Floyd by a Minneapolis police officer and the subsequent riots that followed, with state and federal investigators subsequently uncovering evidence of discrimination and unlawful conduct within the MPD over the last decade, over at least a decade, I should say. The debate over policing the city amid efforts to reform the department and the challenging representing the spike of crime since the start of the pandemic remains ongoing. So heading over to Outside Magazine, which, by the way, since I started walking, man, I'm outside a lot more and I like it. It's a good residence here. So Minneapolis is the largest city that's represented here. Other cities are there. Cincinnati, New Orleans, Reno, Madison shows up on the list. But of all the cities, by far, Minneapolis is the largest. So you're welcome, America. This is how you do it. If COVID taught Minneapolis residents anything, it's that the city's ample green space goes a long way towards healing and happiness. Here, Minneapolis vaulted to the number one spot in people for bikes annual large city rankings, moved up to number 3 in the Trust for Public Lands Park Score rankings. The city has 180 parks, many of which are connected by some 100 miles of off-street bikeways and trails that run along the Mississippi River and around a chain of lakes, the chain of lakes. Additionally, the 20-year neighborhood park plan has promised to commit $11 million annually through 2036 for maintenance, rehabilitation, and capital investments, especially in low-income neighborhoods. By the way, we don't talk enough about that. Can I tell you how many people I have coming up into Minneapolis and they get here and they're like, oh, is there a fee I have to use? There's a park down the street here. Is there a fee I have to pay for it? No, it's free. You can go use it. That park over there, yes. The one that's completely clean and well-maintained, yes. The one with all the play equipment, which is relatively new with at least the last 5-10 years, yeah, you can go play there. There's no fee for it. Well, you pay taxes on it, but that's what we spend their taxes on. So that park is free, yes. And you'll suddenly say, it's like, is that not the case where you came from? And they'll look at you and say, of course not. The parks that they come from in states, the last time they put new equipment in there was the 1970s. They're not mowed. There's dog droppings everywhere. It's not a safe place to be. Most of the equipment is broken. They haven't had a working swing in years. Like, off you go. Bon appetit. So, good news there. People who are fundamentally happy here because there's an ethos of connecting to the outdoors, says Anthony Taylor, the equitable development lead for the nonprofit Cultural Wellness Center. The organization founded events like Melanin in Motion as a way to induce more people of color into fat biking, Nordic skiing, and other outdoor activities. Another event, Slow Roll MSP, offers loaner bikes and leads rides through diverse neighborhoods before ending with a meal cooked by a neighborhood chef using locally grown food. It's the work of access, says Taylor. It's how we're creating a sense of safety for people not normally in these outdoor spaces. Minneapolis has a long history of welcoming immigrants and those part of the LGBTQ plus community. Minnesota legalized gay marriage in 2013. And this year it was passed a Shields transgender health care, preventing state courts and officials from complying with child removal requests, extraditions, arrests, and subpoenas related to gender-affirming health care. In other fronts, there are excellent hospitals, esteemed performing arts, and fantastic food. The city's farmers market was founded in 1876 and has since grown to become the largest farmer-managed market in the state with 170 stalls. Flowers out there, by the way, are really nice at this point. Many of the vendors among, and in 2021, Alumni, the restaurant named by the chief, Sean Sherman, that serves modern indigenous food using only native ingredients, opened in the Waterworks Pavilion in the Mill Ruins Park along the Mississippi River. A year later, it won the Beard Award for Best New Restaurant. So there you go. Lots of reasons why Minneapolis is amazing. And it's inevitable. It's inevitable. We're going to get it. Because once again, the only way Republicans can win, considering they have no platform, is to convince you that it's actually horrible. So I want to, everyone breathing deep. Take a quick moment here. All right. When you hear that Republican, family member, friend, neighbor, cousin, coworker, whatever the case may be, do they... There are a few variations of this you can do with. I prefer to go with the screw you. That's just me though. I'm an aggressive jackass. You could just go, no, it's actually really nice here. And then watch them go, no, it's actually really nice here. Why are you here? And as a matter of fact, that's what I want you to do. Why are you here if you hate it here so much? Why are you here? I mean, don't you want to be someplace where you want to be happy? Because you're clearly not happy here. So why are you here? Chop! That's what you're going to get. So, once again, Minneapolis, St. Paul, kick and caboose. Fantastic. Just a pleasant place to be. And yeah, it does have problems. We all have problems. Every city's got problems. Every city's got problems. Trust me. But we don't sit on the sidelines and tell the people, for the most part, you're on your own. We try to help people out. We try to make sure that they are taken care of. And it's a shame it took us so long as a population to finally completely understand the chaos that the African-American community has been going through, and the Native American community for that matter, in regards to the police brutality. But I think we all are done that. This is done. That's the Department of Justice has even come down and pointed out how bad it had been. So that things are going to change. And reality is when you look at the litany of things that the DFL just did, it's only going to make Minneapolis, St. Paul a better place to live. And that's not just Minneapolis and St. Paul. That's the suburbs, too. And speaking of which, when we come back, I want to take a break, come back. When I do come on back, I want to get into this Minnetonka carjacking story. Because, you know, it is a tragedy what's happened to this family that where this happened. But because we seem to be losing focus here, I think there are people involved with this that are trying to turn this into a political thing. And I want to get to that here. Not saying that we shouldn't address the crime issue. It just is your concern the crime issue and the failures, or is your concern trying to go after Mary Moriarty, who, for the record, I haven't exactly been the most complimentary to myself. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Take a break. Come on back. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
If you've made the decision to level your home and build new or to renovate, hire Better Futures Minnesota to take it apart by hand. Think before you scrap. Think of the energy and greenhouse gases saved by diverting what can be reused and recycled from the landfill. Better Futures Minnesota can do it for you. Hennepin County residents and public entities, there are funds available to make the environmentally right thing to do comparable to demolition. Check out BetterFuturesMinnesota.com. That's BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
Nightingale is your cozy, comfortable neighborhood restaurant in the Whittier neighborhood at 26th and Lindale. Nightingale has patio, dining room, and bar seating available. Plus, they still have takeout and delivery. Their menu has lots of delicious options like the famous Nightingale Burger and Fries, Ginger Tamari Chicken Wings, Smoked Chicken Liver Pate, and more. They're open from 5 p.m. to 1 a.m. daily with their full menu until midnight. So make the friendly neighborhood Nightingale your go-to restaurant in South Minneapolis. Place an order, make a reservation, and more at NightingaleMPLS.com.
Fall is here and it's the season of changes. But you know what doesn't change? The fun and excitement at the National Eagle Center in Wabasha. Pack up the family for a perfect day trip and take a drive to Wabasha to join the celebration during their Soar Fall Flight Festival happening September 23rd and 24th. They're highlighting fall migration along the Mississippi River Flyway and celebrating Native American cultures and their connections to eagles. You'll meet the live eagle ambassadors, catch an exciting program in the beautiful Riverfront Amphitheater, and enjoy a front row seat to fall migration. You can explore Native and Indigenous cultures by visiting the exhibitor booths from Effigy Mounds National Monument, Indigenous artist Inkpa Manny, and Native American craftsman Dick Mindykowski. Plus, meet live birds from the Midwest Peregrine Society. Register for an unforgettable eagle viewing trip or behind-the-scenes experience and enjoy seasonal arts and crafts for all ages. It's a fall party with the Eagles, and you're invited. Get all the details online at nationaleaglecenter.org/soar and schedule your eagle fun today.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. So it would be fantastic if we as a society ever lived in a crime-free world. It really would be nice. That just doesn't exist. It's never really existed. You know, it's interesting when I'll talk to, and I've talked about this numerous times, you'll go to the South and you'll talk to the white Southerners, and they'll talk about, well, the good old days of the 50s. Well, it wasn't so good for the black people, and they get incensed you bring that up. Well, you know, they had their problems, but I mean, it didn't take away from this. Well, yeah, so if you created a racist culture that, you know, basically prevented, you know, certain people from having a chance of getting ahead in life, and were kept as, you know, basically, even though slavery was illegal, but kept with low wages and lower income areas, and the only opportunities they had were basically to be able to, you know, work for you at a less than livable wage. Well, sure, I guess for you it was great. It wasn't great for them, and you know, kind of things. And there's always been times. I mean, there was a fantastic Daily Show segment about that where they sent their correspondents out and said, when exactly, when you say, talk about the good old days, when do you talk about the good old days? And they, every time they brought up a decade, they'd bring up all the bad things that happened in a decade. And they're well, not that stuff. Cities, by nature, have, you know, crime. And sometimes it's bad, sometimes it's not as bad. If you want to look at us and act like we're the worst state of the nation, you haven't been to Shreveport, you haven't been to Baltimore, you haven't been to Detroit. There are a lot, you haven't gone to Fresno. There's a lot of really bad places right now in this country where crime is really atrocious. I mean, just really atrocious, where they're just kind of, in, for lack of a better way to say it, not safe to go there. You have to, whenever you talk about a crime, there's two ways to discuss it. There's always the micro and the macro. The micro looks at it from the very you know, closest point of view, which is someone was attacked, someone was robbed, someone was beaten, someone was murdered. And obviously we, when we discuss that, can feel empathy and sadness and compassion and caring for that individual. They sure didn't deserve that, not in any capacity. But then there's also the macro way of looking at it, and looking at it in the case of carjackings, there have been a total of five total carjackings in Minnetonka in the last 3 years. Total of five. That's hardly any. And you got Ridgedale in there. I'm going to guess most of them taking place over there, although this one case that we're about to discuss did not. There are crimes, and it doesn't demean or dismiss or negate the feelings of betrayal, fear, anger, scared of the victims. By all means, we need to make sure we get a good support system in there to take care of those people and make sure they're there. Part of that is making sure we have a judicial system and a legal system that actually hands out appropriate punishments for the crime. Not locking them up for the rest of their lives to be beaten every hour and not fed but once every 3 days. No, that's not what we should be doing. But at the same time, they deserve some jail time. And this is where I mentioned earlier, I've not exactly been the biggest supporter of Mary Moriarty. When those two teenagers murdered that woman, the idea of giving them juvie for a year and a half, then home with Netflix and DoorDash for 2 years, really was insulting. It's insulting to the family. It's insulting to the community. It was insulting. And I don't want to hear about, well, they were just, you know, ploys for another adult and, you know, this. No, they were the trigger men in a murder. They deserve something more than, like I said, 18 months and then DoorDash and Netflix. The stories I'm going to read from are from Care 11. The first one was yesterday, and this actually puts a lot of perspective into what exactly happened here. 1 month has passed since the violent carjacking happened in a family's driveway in Minnetonka. The family is now encouraging residents to attend Monday's Minnetonka City Council meeting to share their concerns. That was Monday last night. This is the first time I read this was yesterday. Last week, Hennepin County Attorney's Office charged Ramel Roshode Lewis, 21, with first-degree carjacking, burglary, and robbery. According to the Minnetonka Police Department, Lewis is wanted in a series of metro area burglaries and car thefts. So, yes, scumbag. This is a significant development in a string of cases that took place across the Twin Cities in recent weeks, said Captain Andy Gardner in a press release. This is the first case in Hennepin County making the use of a new law that calls for more serious charges for violent offenders and carjackings. All right. A warrant has been issued for his arrest. As you can imagine, it's a pretty traumatic event when you have people coming to your yard in the middle of the day and attack a little boy and his mother. So there's a lot of trauma going on with that, said Craig Beeson. Beeson's wife and 13-year-old were the victims of the carjacking on the morning of August 17th. Once again, the first carjacking of the year in Minnetonka, the fifth in 3 years. But, you know, once again, it's the micro and the macro. We can look at this and clearly feel sorry for the victims, but I'll look at it in the macro. How about the victims of this other guy that basically are plowed over? I mean, this guy sounds like he's had a litany of crimes And there doesn't seem, my guess is going to be these are, you know, Minneapolis or St. Paul carjackings, and there doesn't seem to be any concern about those victims as we go through this story. And I think that we can look at this, like I said, in both directions. And we have to look at this in both directions. And once again, I feel sorry for this family because this is horrible. They just returned home from grocery shopping at 10:50 in the morning. While carrying groceries in the home, Beeson's wife looked out the window and observed a grayish sedan occupied by multiple males pull up in front of her home. When she exited her home to the attached garage, she had noticed that one man in the driver's seat of the husband's vehicle in the garage. The man wasn't able to start the car in the garage and ran back to the suspect's vehicle. When she went to confront him, the complaint says the other men then attacked her. When the 13-year-old son tried calling the police, one of the men started dragging the teen while trying to take the phone, but was unable to overpower him. According to the complaint, the son sustained scrapes and his body suffered physical pain during the attack. The four suspects then sped off with the suspect's sedan and the victim's vehicle. So I'm going to extend the victim with this was the vehicle that had the groceries in it. Horrible. You know, it's as I can say this as a person that when I got hit by the drunk driver, I'm glad this was not more serious. I mean, I don't want to just downplay this. But you know, this stuff like this happens, and all of a sudden you get some, you know, idiot kid that doesn't know what the heck they're doing, and they got a gun, and the next thing you know, it's a much larger tragedy. I can't tell you how glad I am that the wife and the son are alive. Some scrapes and some bruises, definitely some mental trauma. Clearly, all our best, and like I said, get them the help they need. By all means. They tried to run them over when they left the driveway. They went down to a dead-end street, turned around, then tried to run them over again. Both of them, Beeson said that the family called the police. Officers intercepted the fleeing vehicles and began pursuit. The complaint said the officers ended the pursuit due to concerns for public safety. So basically, they were going so fast that they didn't want them to plow into another vehicle and possibly kill someone else as they tried to flee. About a half an hour after the incident, officers were able to track the family's vehicle to a Walgreens in Edina. So I'm going to guess that's the Walgreens off of York. I think that's over there off of York.
There's also one up off Vernon and 100 up by Jerry's.
Oh, that's right. So it's one of the two. I'm going to guess off of York. Edina and Minnetonka officers observed several males standing around the two vehicles in the parking lot, but they fled before officers were able to make contact with them. So they witnessed them and then they fled. Beeson said he understood why the pursuit was called off, but added to not arrest them when they had the chance to arrest them. I don't understand that. They just watched them get into the stolen vehicle and leave. Now, once again, so it's very clear here what Beeson is upset about is, wait a second here, the police seem to have dropped the ball. That the Walgreens thing, they were there, they saw them, they didn't immediately get out there and pull every police car they had and shut it down. And yeah, they probably should have. I'm not going to deny that. I don't know if they were waiting for backup. I don't know what the case may have been, but clearly. According to the city, Beeson said it's extremely frustrating to see that this went on this long before charges were even brought forth, and now only one of the four has been brought forth. According to the city of Minnetonka, this is the first carjacking of 2023. There have been fewer than five carjackings in the city for the past 3 years. Now, that was yesterday's story. And clearly, once again, horrible incident. Some, you know, like I said, thank God they're the mother and the kid are okay. Thank goodness for that. Get them the help they need. And obviously, mental health care for them, that's obviously a very traumatic thing. But they can recover from this. Cars can be replaced. Lives can't. That's the important thing. And that's I'm very glad that they that outside of some bumps and bruises, there's nothing extremely physically that was damaged per se. They did escape, and then they escaped again with the police. Now, when I come back, I want to talk about what happened last night because it seems to be changing a little bit what the attention is supposed to be here. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. It's the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950.
Seward Co-op is now offering convenient self-serve and prepackaged hot options and salad bars at both the Franklin and Friendship stores. Breakfast items available daily until 11 a.m. and brunch served all day every Sunday. Their weekly lunch and dinner menus highlight cuisines from around the world. They offer vegan, vegetarian, and gluten-free options daily. 95% of the ingredients used are organic from small-scale, local community food producers whenever possible. More at seward.coop.
Hi, this is Laura. Listen to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m. or anytime via podcast. Our individual health is connected, connected to the health of each other, and connected to the health of the earth. We know the problems with the dominant food system, climate change, deadening soils, nitrates in the water, factory farming, injustice, concentration of wealth. How do we both as individuals and as a community step up and support a living food system which honors the earth? Tune to Food Freedom Radio every Saturday at 8 a.m. and remember to support your independent farmers.
It's the start of our favorite season in Minnesota, football season. That's right, with all the hype and action this season brings, we know things can get loud and messy quick. Before you invite your friends and family over to watch the big game, you better call my cleaning heroes at Zero Res to clean up all of those fumble moments in your home. Lucky for you, you can score big this month with great savings. Right now, you can get your entire home zero-resified from Minnesota's ultimate carpet cleaner and get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned starting at just $149. It's also a perfect time of year to get your air ducts cleaned this month with $100 off your air duct cleaning. An air duct cleaning will help alleviate allergies and asthma, you will enjoy less dust, lower energy bills, and your home will stay cleaner longer. Schedule your appointment today at ZeroResMinnesota.com or by calling 952-ZERO-RES and asking for the AM 950 special. Zero Res.
Don't drive too fast or you will miss Scott Jamama's Hot Barbecue. Scott Jamama's offers huge taste out of a little place. Located at 3 West Diamond Lake Road near the intersection of Nicolette Avenue and West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis, this tiny hole in the wall offers mouth-watering baby back ribs, grilled chicken, and half-pound pulled pork sandwiches. Don't forget to add the potato salad, spicy baked beans, twice-baked potatoes, and delicious desserts. Find their hours and full menu at scottjamamas.com.
Hi, I'm Scott Chambliot from Chambliot Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, shame-free dental office. We know dental anxiety and dental phobia are real. We'll take the time to get to know you and give you what you need to be comfortable at all times. We offer free nitrous oxide laughing gas and have high-tech options to help you feel calm and relaxed during your appointments. We'll help you get through every appointment in the most pain-free way possible. If you're having a dental emergency, we'll try and get you in the same day you call because we don't like to see anyone in pain. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. I've been going to Chambliot Family Dentistry for years. They get me in last minute when I'm in pain and make regular checkups easy and comfortable.
Chambliot Family Dentistry in Hopkins and St. Paul. Find them online at ChambliotFamilyDentistry.com or call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH.
With your AM 950 weather, I'm Brett Johnson. Look for partly sunny skies today with a high near 80. Tonight, clear with a low around 60. And Wednesday, sunny with a high near 83. Scott Jamama's offers a huge taste out of a little place. Besides their delicious barbecue, they have potato salad, spicy baked beans, twice baked potatoes, and delicious desserts. Located at 3 West Diamond Lake Road near the intersection of Nicolet Avenue and West Diamond Lake Road in Minneapolis, find their menu and more at scottjamamas.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show, 952-946-6205. So we heard the story of what happened out in Minnetonka. A tragedy, individual. There rarely does happen out there in Minnetonka. But it did happen. Police basically, out of safety concerns, stopped the pursuit, but then found the suspects at a Walgreens in Edina, but for some reason did not make the arrest, or at least attempt to make the arrest. They could have clearly tried to drive over curbs and stuff like that to get away. So that seems to be the problem here. So let's go to last night. And this is Beeson again. He's standing up in Minnetonka. The reason I'm here is because we're tired of this. We're tired of the crime, Beeson said at the podium. I want to know what we can do to invoke change. How can we change this? All right, I want to stop you right there. I understand that you are looking at this from a very micro point of view, that this is what happened to you. And once again, if it's not come clear in this discussion, I feel very sorry for you and your family. They shouldn't have had to go through this. This is very difficult. I can understand your frustration. But I also know what the number 5 means. This is a line I get from someone who was on the Nextdoor app. Because if you haven't been on Nextdoor, it's basically where old people go to complain about crime.
that just doesn't exist anywhere but inside their own minds. I don't go there often. I rarely go there because it is just infuriating to go there and see your own neighbors talking about, the other day I saw some kids, they might have been minorities, the crime rate's out of control, that sort of thing. The gangbangers control my neighborhood. What are you talking about? You know. No, they don't. I mean, it's the same thing that's always existed. I remember when I bought my house in Hopkins, a friend of mine said to me, oh, Matt, you can't move to Hopkins. It's the barrio. What? Okay. Really? People, the same people as I talked about with the outside magazine ranking of Minneapolis as one of the top 15 happiest cities in the country. Those people that like to sit there and scream, they see a very different world. These are the people that anytime they see a minority, they're calling the police or they're writing it down. Black man walking by my house. Time and date. They see a car in the neighborhood they don't recognize. They're getting the license plate and stuff like that. That's what this is. And then they're always authorities on things. It's basically, like I said, the Nextdoor app is where Republicans go to basically feed this machine of irrational thought processes that everything is going crazy. When I read this line from Beeson, the reason I'm here is because we're tired of this. We're tired of the crime. Once again, crime happened to you. It's very personal. I also know that that was the first carjacking that happened in Minnetonka, a city of, I think it's 45 to 50. Well, it's, do me a favor, Patrick. Can you find the population of Minnetonka really quick for me?
It's about 53,000.
53,000. Thank you. A town of 53,000. You had your first carjacking in August. It's not a crime haven. You're speaking, by the way, at the Minnetonka City Council. So you're not talking like at the Hennepin County meeting or, you know, over at the state capitol. You're talking at Minnetonka. So clearly the implication is the Minnetonka crime is something here. We're tired of this. We're tired of the crime. I want to know what I can do to invoke change. How can we change this? That started raising my hairs when I read that. I'm like, okay, this is not, once again, I'm going to give him some leeway with that first statement because it is personal for him. Before the meeting, Beeson said he intended his message for the elected officials and specifically Hennepin County Attorney Mary Moriarty because that's where I believe it's broken. Now, I want to stop you, Mr. Beeson, right there. This is where you're making it political. The incident that you had the day before, the CARE 11 story the day before, your frustration was clearly with the police departments that did not arrest them when they had the chance, at least in your mind. And once again, that is, I got to be very careful here. That is a very one-sided argument of what happened there with that Walgreens. But the implication from Beeson is they were just sitting outside, police saw them, didn't go up and arrest them, had the chance, and then they drove off, and that was that. That's not Mary Moriarty. And once again, I want to be very clear. I am not the biggest supporter of Mary Moriarty. I am not carrying her water at all. I think that she is definitely probably a one-term Hennepin County attorney at this point. I don't see how. I knew that we all said the same thing. We understood that there had to be change, that there was clearly racial issues within the prosecutorial arm of Hennepin County, but no one was talking about letting, you know, gunmen go, or at least, you know, minimal sentences and they'll learn their lesson and apparently we'll have a drum circle. That was not part of the deal. But so the fact that from the first time the CARE 11 story ran to where you were like upset with the police to now this, I want to make sure we understand who this is directed exactly at. Mary Moriarty. All right, I get it. This has become political. And I have zero doubt you're probably being encouraged by Republicans who are like, yeah, the crime's out of control. I was on Nextdoor app. My God, crime's out of control. No, it's not. But You're looking for a target. In the August 17th Minnetonka case, Moriarty's office has charged 21-year-old Romile Lewis with first-degree carjacking, which is once again what you want. The first such case charged under Minnesota's new stiffened carjacking laws. Once again, also what you want. So we have the charge from Moriarty's office. We have the stricter penalties, which she is, it's not like she's saying, I'm not going to follow those rules. I'm going to make up my own rules. She's following the law as it's been dictated. What exactly is Mary Moriarty doing again here? She said charges against second suspect involved are pending, but after police forwarded her the case on Friday. So once again, last Friday, the police forwarded her the case. I understand you wish the world right now, because you're angry about what happened to you, Mr. Beeson, was like Judge Dredd, that someone could just drive up to someone, find these people and say guilty and blow them away. I get it. You're angry and frustrated. I'm not going to basically try to negate you from your justifiable frustration. Now, I disagree with that, you know, an extreme penalty like that for sure. But you want immediate justice. Why aren't these people in stocks in the town square getting ready to be thrown away and enjoy a jail cell in the Arctic with the key being thrown away and we don't care anymore? I get it. You want that kind of justice. But once again, she's charged the first guy. She's followed the law that basically says, here's the law, here's how you have to charge him. So she's doing her job. And she said, since the police forwarded the second case, she is expecting charges against that second person pretty quickly. There are two really strong reasons that stood out here. We learned that this is part of a broader, more sophisticated kind of car theft ring, targeting high-end cars, not just impulsive. We see a car, we're going to take it, Moriarty said in an interview with Care 11. Also, the assault of the 13-year-old boy. Moriarty has responded to the criticism, some which has surfaced in the Minnetonka Council meeting on Monday night, of course, because it became political, that her office has not been aggressive enough in prosecuting carjackings or violent crimes involving young adults and juveniles. In response, she said that less than 2% of cases involving stolen cars in Hennepin County are submitted to her office due to the difficulty of investigating the crimes. So once again, she can't just roll down the street as Judge Dredd and start administering justice. She can't do that. She has to get a court case from the police. And basically, you know, the difficulty of investigating the crimes makes it to where only less than 2%. The problem here seems to not be with Moriarty's office. And once again, I'm saying this as a person that has been critical of her and her relatively soft-handed approach. But in this case, she's already charged one person, getting ready to charge a second person, and she's following the state guidelines, which were enforced to make sure that these crimes are charged correctly. What exactly do you want Moriarty to do more now? Do you want her to be a Judge Dredd running down the street and just, you know, instant justice? Because I don't think that that's what her job is. Like I said, it's a shame that this is becoming political, but it's clear that it is becoming political. Not because it is political, because the problem is something you pointed out in the first story, Mr. Beeson, is the problem here seems to, from your original account, be that the police had these guys there and they did not make the arrest for whatever the reason, whether or not they were really in a position to make that arrest. We can't say that for sure. We can't hold people accountable if cases aren't submitted to us, said Mary Moriarty. Once again, I want to repeat that. We cannot hold people accountable if cases aren't submitted to us. When cases are submitted to us, we have a sufficient evidence to prove beyond a reasonable doubt. We will charge it and we'll hold the person accountable. It was because of these really low clearance rates of 2%, one of the reasons why we've started our youth auto theft initiative. According to Moriarty, her office started the initiative in June by partnering with police to identify repeat offenders and carjackings to auto theft, which, by the way, sounds like it actually has worked to a point, because they've been able to identify this individual as being part of multiple carjackings around the metro. I don't have any patience for this. Let me back up really quick. I really do feel sorry for this family. I really do. I can't imagine how horrible that must feel. I can tell you how horrible it feels to be hit by a drunk driver and then be told, well, the sentencing guidelines dictate that there's not going to be any prison time for a guy that was drunk as a skunk who slammed into me and broke my back. that one stung. But I also can't demand when the county prosecutor doesn't have the authority to walk into a courtroom and say, I'm going to throw this person in jail for 4 years to teach them a lesson. They don't have the authority to do that. So it's not, it's as much as I want to get mad at that, there's not much I can do get mad at there because they're only following the freaking guidelines. And it doesn't sound like because of the amount of people, because the drinking and driving is such a huge freaking problem right now, the amount of people we'd be throwing into jails would be more than the jails could handle. That being said, I'd like to understand how this went from, for Beeson, the police failed, to Mary Moriarty. And once again, Mary Moriarty does seem to be doing what she can do. I can't charge a crime unless I have the case submitted. I'm charging these people with the laws that I am now dictated to charge them. What, I mean, I guess that's the question I have for Beeson at this point is understanding your frustration. I mean, what is the failure here? Are you saying that the state law should be mandatory life sentence, should be the death sentence? Is that what you're saying? I mean, that would be the extreme side of it. That if you're caught carjacking someone in Minnetonka, and once again, micro macro, this person has been involved in a lot of other carjackings that have been going on. It's only when it happens when one area here, one specific area, all of a sudden the people are up in arms. Well, why weren't you up in arms when this stuff was happening before? I don't know if you want this guy to be executed. I don't know if you want a light mandatory life sentence with no food. I don't know if you want a daily beating. I don't know if you want to just be able to put this guy in the street and drive your car at him as fast as you can and teach him a lesson. I don't know. I don't know. Because all I can say is this, is that Mary Moriarty is following the laws that have been dictated to her that she has to follow now. And she's charged the people that, or she's charged the one person and likely second to charge the second person here once she gets the court cases. So I guess that's the part where if you're going to go down this path and you're all of a sudden going to forgive the officers who you just the day before in the Care 11 story were insisting were the problem here, what is she not doing that you wish she was? And I think you have to ask that question because then we can hear that individual, whether that's a, well, I wish they would have harsher penalties. Well, that's not Mary Moriarty. That's the state. You can make that happen on the state level. That's talking to politicians. Oh, I want to have the instantaneous death sentence. Well, no one's going to put that into place outside of the most far-right Republicans and only for minorities. Let's just be honest about it. So that's not going to happen. So I, you know, if I, what I want to say is this, Mr. Beeson, I'm really sorry for what happened to your family. I'm really sorry there. You still live in an insanely safe town that does, for a town of 53,000 people, you have very limited amount of crime out there. It's not exactly the nitty-gritty dirty city. It just is not. And that being said, don't turn this into politics because nothing will make people not care about you faster than the first thing out of your mouth is, dang that Mary Moriarty, when the reality is, your frustration is valid. You did identify one question of why things weren't done a certain way. But going after Moriarty here, what else should she do? I mean, like I said, are you expecting her to be Judge Dredd? Because I just don't think that that's going to happen. 952-946-6205, 952-946-6205. Take a break, come back. This is the Matt McNeil Show right here on AM 950. When a drunk driver hit my car, the structural integrity and safety features of my Toyota Sienna saved my life. I will always own one. That's it. That's the ad. I don't think I need to add anything else, but I'll gladly mention their sales team is attentive and friendly, their service department is the best in the state, and their vehicles, you can put a lot of faith in the quality and safety of a Toyota vehicle. The structural integrity and safety features of my Toyota Sienna saved my life. I will always own one. That says it all. Rudy Luther Toyota, 5 miles west of Minneapolis on 394.
You know how it is with vacuum cleaners. You buy them, you break them, then you throw them away, right? Well, not necessarily. Often, fixing your vacuum can be cheaper than replacing it. Ever heard of A1 Vacuum in Roseville? They offer free estimates. So if you wish your vacuum worked like new again, drop by. A1 Vacuum is ready to help clean up your vacuum cleaner act. Find us at a-1vacuum.com or call 651-222-6316.
Would you let animals pick your insurance? Do you really need to experience mayhem to get the best rates? Or how about a celebrity quarterback or fake university saving you money? There's a lot of marketing stunts when it comes to insurance, but what you really need is someone looking out for you. Call Array Insurance, and they will work hard to find you the best insurance coverage and rates. So avoid gimmicks and call Cheryl at Array, 763-504-3067 or arrayinsurance.com. Array Insurance, working hard for you.
Attention parents and caregivers, Next Chapter Booksellers is thrilled to introduce First Chapter Storytime. Join school teacher turned bookseller Adriana every Saturday from 10:30 to 11. She'll read a favorite picture book from Next Chapter's ever-growing children's selection, perfect for kids 4 to 7. There will also be fun activities planned right after the reading. So let's foster a love of reading in our little ones with First Chapter Storytime, Saturdays from 10:30 to 11 at Next Chapter Booksellers. Find upcoming Storytime books at nextchapterbooksellers.com.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota. It's the Matt McNeil Show. You know, and it's funny because you look at all the outrage that's going on in Minnetonka. It's taken, there was a beating up in Duluth that happened that it's taken a shocking amount of time for this to get some traction. But frankly, from what I've seen, this is a far worse crime than what happened in Minnetonka. It just is, you know, wealthy white person suburbs, focus, focus, focus. Black woman in Duluth, well, she probably deserved it. That's at least how I'm interpreting this, the coverage of this. Surveillance video from an incident at a West Duluth bar last week showed two men assaulting a black woman who was later taken to the hospital with injuries to her head, face, and her head and face, according to the Duluth Police Department. The department originally characterized it as a fight between two women who were separated by two men, a report that was refuted by the victim and her family in Facebook posts and a GoFundMe site. So once again, not really seeming to be too concerned about this case at all, you know, originally because of, you know, it was two women fighting. You know, if this was, if this was a white woman out in the Minnetonka, I imagine this would have been a very differently covered story. Michelle Folsom wrote on her Facebook page that she was kicked in the head and faced by two white men at the Rustic Bar late Tuesday night. She said she regained consciousness in the parking lot, was walked to her daughter's workplace a few minutes away, and was later taken to the hospital by a Mayo ambulance. She posted images of her face covered with cuts and scrapes, her white shirt streaked with blood, and lenses of her glasses with red film. Folsom said in a post that the bar cleaned up her blood, but the bartender wouldn't call the police even when she begged. The first public notification about the incident was posted Saturday on Facebook, an account that has been since clarified to include the assault. In a news release Monday, the police department said it responded to a call Wednesday at 12:15 and found the 39-year-old with injuries a few blocks from the bar. On Thursday last week, police requested the video of the bar, received access only 2 days later. They said the video shows a physical altercation between the victim and another woman before the two men who knew the other woman assaulted Folsom. So she was telling the truth. The police department's original post drew anger from some of the hundreds of people who commented and shared the information, asking for action and more accuracy in the details. On the Rustic Bar's Facebook page, there are calls for accountability as well. The investigation continues. According to the police department, no one's been charged. Folsom did not return messages. And a member of the local chapter of the NAACP said that Folsom wasn't talking to the media right now. In a GoFundMe for her mother, the daughter described the incident as a hate crime and a brutal attack. She said her mother's nose is broken on both sides. Her teeth went through her lip. She has two black eyes and her head is swollen. The amount of blood that leads me to believe that they left her for dead. On Monday morning, the daughter said in a message that she had just seen the video footage and was not yet ready to talk about it herself. Jeffrey Flynn, the bar's owner, if you're at all questions to the police department. I think the first thing I can say is this. Rustic Bar is going to be this woman's bar. How do you allow a beating like this and then refuse to call the police? You know, you're culpable if you serve a drunk, going back to the drunken driving. If you are a bar and you give too many drinks to a guy and they get behind a car, you're responsible. That is a fact. I can't even comprehend how much trouble you're in right now for having a woman beaten in your bar by two guys and then downplaying it and then refusing to call the police on the woman when it's clear that an assault happened in your bar. So it ain't going to be your bar too much longer, buddy. I'm just think that's pretty clear at this point. Hour two, that's coming up next.
Do yourself a favor and check out the amazing cuisine of eatlocalminnesota.com. More than just a website, eatlocalminnesota.com provides you with the best local and independently owned restaurants in the Twin Cities. Specializing in Szechuan and Peking cuisine, the Great Wall Chinese Restaurant has been a local favorite since 1981. They offer one of the most extensive menus in the Twin Cities. Favorites include the sesame chicken, imperial beef, and Peking duck. The Great Wall Restaurant is located off 45th and France, with takeout available too. More at greatwallrestaurant.us.
The next time you're out in South Minneapolis, make Nightingale off 26th and Lindale your go-to dining option. It's a comfortable neighborhood restaurant that features a delicious menu of American classics, plus a wide drink and cocktail selection. Nightingale has dining room and bar seating available, plus takeout and delivery. Current hours are...
You're listening to WLAK 1260 AM Amory and WBZH 910 AM W245 CT Hayward. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News.